The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers.
On your Monday afternoon, you're listening to Focus Fox Valley, and it's time for Get Your Lean On with Coach Tony. Good afternoon, Tony.
How are you doing, Allie?
I'm doing really good.
I'm doing great, too. Good to be back.
Yeah, had a good weekend. Did you have one as well?
I really did. Yeah. It was fairly non-eventful, which is typical of my weekend, so we're deck people. My wife and I hang out on the deck a lot.
We also did the same thing this weekend. Put up the little kiddie pool.
Yep.
Let the little ones splash around a little bit. It was a perfect weekend for it. Just beautiful out.
It was, yeah.
Wonderful. So we're talking about gut health today, huh, Tony?
Well, we got a great show.
Lots to talk about.
We're going to talk a little bit about gut health today. We're going to maybe dive into a little bit about some exercises that people think are really, really good for themselves that could actually be pushing them in the opposite direction.
But all exercise is good, right, Tony?
That's what we're told.
Hmm.
But some of it becomes chronic and therefore it can backfire on us.
Interesting.
We have to know what they are.
That's good to know.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what did you have for breakfast today, Tony? We were talking about how that earlier that...
Yeah. So... You know, typically, because I get up so early, I'm up at 3:30, checking my emails. I'm to the office by 5 o'clock. Usually what I do is get up early, you know, before I go in and get all cleaned up to go check my emails. I go out and I have an orange, a glass of infused water, usually lemon and orange, a green banana. Then I go get ready, and then I go check my emails. I come upstairs right before I pull out to go to my clients, and today I had tuna and avocado, so a can of tuna, and I had a half of ripe avocado, and I mixed that together, and that's my protein and my healthy fat,
I'm off. You said a green banana?
Yeah.
Why a green banana?
Well, because green bananas, and we'll talk a little
bit. Does that have to do with today's topics a little bit?
It does and it doesn't. I mean, it's part of the whole infusion of creating good gut health, but green bananas are resistant starch. So what I mean by that is your body, it's indigestible to the human body, but your bacteria actually love it and feed on it. So green bananas are really, really good for gut health. On the flip side, if you eat a banana that's really ripe, and we've talked about this several times in this show, it turns into four different kinds of sugar, so it's really just a sugar stick.
Hmm.
So I prefer my bananas green.
Green ones.
Yeah.
So should we get to our question?
Sure.
Yeah? All right. So question one here. Hi, Coach Tony. I've been doing some fairly extensive research on gut health and how important it is, not only for our general health, but also for our weight and metabolism. Can you possibly talk in a little more detail on this subject and possibly give us a few pointers on how we can enhance our gut health? Thank you, Kathleen P.
Phenomenal question. And I always say phenomenal question because the questions that come in are so, so good. There's a lot of research on gut health over the last few decades, and it's becoming more and more apparent on how gut health really affects our overall health. So most people think that of bacteria within the body, it causes sickness or develops certain diseases, but there's actually billions of beneficial bacteria present in all of us. And in fact, the bacteria in our body outnumber our human cells by 1.3 to 1. So what this means, Hallie, is that we're actually more bacteria than human cells. And these bacteria make up what we call our microbiome, or what some people call our internal ecosystem. Now, recently, science has really come to embrace the important role of bacteria and what it has by promoting a healthy immune system, a stronger immunity, and keeping us overall generally healthy. Therefore, healthy microbiome is absolutely crucial in boosting immunity, keeping our digestive system running smoothly, stabilizing harmonious hormonal balance, which we talk about a lot, and helping us keep our brain healthy, which we talked about last week. It all has a factor. Our individual microbiome is called our genetic footprint, basically, since it helps determine genetic things like genetic hereditary factors, predispositions to disease, body types, actually, and actually body set points.
So would it be safe to say that everyone's gut health and the things that make it all up is everyone's different?
Everybody's different. Yes, for sure. And everybody's affected different. But I guess it comes back to the things that can actually create healthy gut bacteria are the same, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So, in fact, poor gut health has been cited to contribute to things like leaky gut, autoimmune disorders, and other inflammatory issues like, you know, weight gain, diabetes, arthritis, dementia, heart disease, and even cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really being discovered as a whole ecosystem in itself that can keep our immunity very, very healthy.
Tony, I've heard a lot of people talk about leaky guts. Would you be able to maybe explain a little bit about what that could be?
Yeah, we can get into that as we go on through
okay.
this. Yes,
perfect.
Absolutely. So our diet, which, you know, causes leaky gut, our diet plays a key role in establishing our good gut health and supporting good bacteria. Research over the past several decades reveals evidence that there is a complex link between a person's microbiome, their digestive system, their body weight, and metabolism. So it affects all of these components of our body. Because of this, our gut health can impact our body, the way it extracts nutrients from the foods or diets that we eat, and how our body actually stores body fat. The gut microbiome seems to play an important role in even obesity, and changes in the bacteria strain in the gut have been shown to lead to significant changes in health and body weight. It does this by influencing, again, going back to the hormone thing, influencing things like insulin, nutrient extractions from our foods, and how our body stores body fat.
Wow. So a lot going on in our gut.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to Get Your Lean On with Coach Tony, part of Focus Fox Valley, right here on WHBY. /4:20 on WHBY. You're listening to Get Your Lean on Focus Fox Valley. Here with Coach Tony, talking about guts.
We are talking about gut health.
Gut health.
I think that really kind of freaks people out to know that even though we think we're made up of human cells, which we are, we have about, last I looked, because it's the numbers are always changing, we have about 30 trillion human cells. We have about 39 trillion bacteria in our body. So we're actually walking bacteria.
And when you think of bacteria, you think, oh, ew, gross, bacteria, gross.
Right.
Not
right.
Good.
And that's what we think. But these bacteria are so beneficial to our health. And a lot of the things that we eat, like the resistant starch we talked about earlier, is their food. So those bacteria actually eat a lot of the things and break down a lot of the things that we don't break down as it goes through digestion, and we extract those nutrients from that. So it's really, really kind of cool the way it all works.
Absolutely. We had a question from Kathleen P, who was doing some research on gut health, and she was curious on learning a little bit more about what it is and what are the best practices to having good gut health. So continuing that conversation, Tony.
Yeah, so we, you know, went over all the things, you know, how, you know, good gut bacteria really can stabilize our metabolism, you know, how we digest food. All these things are super, super important. So we know, we have a better understanding now of how important good gut health is in lowering inflammation, because inflammation is the root cause of all metabolic and chronic issues. So let's give the listeners some pro-inflammatory foods that they should try to sidestep out of their diet that's creating hormonal disruption and bad gut bacteria, and then give them some things that they can actually add into their diet that will actually be beneficial to their gut health, lower inflammation, and hopefully scathe them from chronic and metabolic issues.
All right, let's dive on in.
All right, let's do it.
So the bad stuff first.
The bad stuff first. Always, always the bad
always
stuff
first.
Always bad first. You can always end up with the good then. So some of the things you want to stay away from is refined vegetable oils. And I talk about this a lot. And if the listeners out there want to go to my website, I have a template of the bad and the good oils that you should use and should not use, for the simple fact that, like, refined vegetable oils like canola oil, corn oil, soybean oil, rapeseed oil, grapeseed oil, safflower oil, all these things are very pro-inflammatory. And the reason why they are is they either have a low smoke point, but worse of all, they have a super high omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acid ratio, making them super pro-inflammatory. So you want to stay away from those. And we'll get into the ones that they should use. We'll do the bad stuff first. So sidestep those type of oils. And if you want to lay down, go a sheet, go on my Facebook page and you can dig it up, or you can go onto my website and get it. Pasteurized dairy products. Now, we talked about this a little bit. I'm not a big dairy person, but go for the whole unpasteurized stuff. It's the best. It's going to help create good gut bacteria. Pasteurized products are usually common with allergens and not really, really good for you. So kind of sidestep them or minimize them in your diet. Refined carbohydrates. We all know that refined carbohydrates and processed grains, they're already broken down. They don't have any fiber left to them. They jet stream into the bloodstream very quickly. They raise insulin levels. They raise blood sugar levels. They create inflammation. So we need to try to lower those to a healthy degree. And that goes right into added sugars found in a majority of our packaged foods, like snack foods or breads or condiments or canned items or cereals, things like that. Those things need to be just minimalized, and added sugar in and of itself should be eliminated from the diet along with high fructose corn syrup altogether. The last one on this list is trans fats or hydrogenated oils. Now, these are usually found in things like the oils that we talked about, the industrialized seed oils. Those can have hydrogenated oils in them, and they don't even have to state they do. On the flip side of that, other things like packaged and processed products and fried foods are generally full of trans fats. And the bad thing about trans fats is not only that they can hide trans fats on a product list, they raise bad cholesterol and they lower good cholesterol. Now, lowering the good cholesterol is even worse than raising bad cholesterol, because that's the cholesterol that circulates through the body, picks up excess cholesterol, brings it to the liver, and brings it out of the body. So you want to sidestep trans fats 100% out of your diet.
You know, this list isn't, you know, if you're trying to keep to a healthy diet, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be eating these types of foods anyways.
Absolutely not.
So you would think it'd be pretty simple to adhere to.
That's true, but most, because of the way we're propositioning things on TV and commercials and stuff, we look at healthy completely different than what healthy really is. So some of these would mandate for a lot of people, well, that's a fairly healthy product. We just don't know. And again, what I bring to the table is a lot of counterintuitive things, which you're going to hear when we talk about later with the exercise stuff. And I'm a master trainer and a board certified nutrition specialist. And so bringing this stuff up is so counterintuitive, but I always ask people at the end of the day, how is what you're doing working for you? Because if it's not working for you, maybe try to take a different approach.
smart advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the other hand, there's many natural foods that can lower inflammation and increase good gut bacteria. These are high antioxidant foods that reduce gut damage caused by oxidative stress that turn down the overactive immune system while safeguarding healthy cells. Now, these anti-inflammatory foods should be the foundation of your diet. And I just keep talking about these. And again, I keep bringing it up, but go to my Facebook page, join it. Get your Lean On Facebook page. I tell you, I give free information away all the time, whether it's articles I've written, whether it's the foods that I actually eat, or whether it's my videos, steering you clear of unhealthy things and steering you toward the things that can actually push your body in the direction of better health and automatic weight loss without ever having to diet.
Some great advice there. I just checked out your Facebook page.
Beautiful.
You put a picture of us up there. That's really nice,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Thank you. So back to the good list.
Okay, so the first one is, and I continually pound this on people, is fresh veggies of all kinds. These are loaded with phytonutrients and are shown to lower cholesterol, triglycerides, and symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis, these neurological disorders like Alzheimer's, cancer, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. So what you want to do is aim for a variety of a minimum of 4 to 6 and preferably up to 9 servings a day of things like beets and carrots, which come with some great, great antioxidant health benefits. Cruciferous vegetables, which I just had before I came in here. I had eggs and broccoli before I came to the show. Cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and kale. Things like dark leafy greens or leafy greens like collard greens and spinach and onions, peas, salad greens, and squash. All of those should be at the base of your diet. Every day you should have servings of those.
And coming from a picky eater, an extremely picky eater, there are very easy ways to sneak these vegetables into your daily diet.
Absolutely.
You don't have to eat them straight up.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So throw out there some of the things that you do to sneak yours in.
Well, things like spinach and kale.
Yep.
Those go in my smoothie.
Okay.
Almost every day.
Very often.
And I just mix with a little water and makes a nice, pretty green smoothie.
Yep.
And my daughter loves it too. She'll gobble it right up, and she doesn't even realize that she's having all those greens, and putting things like onions and broccoli and cabbage into your meats, your proteins, kind of grinding it nice and small, or cauliflowered rice instead of mixing with regular rice. You don't even notice the difference.
No, absolutely. So, embed them in the things that you like and get them in. It's so important.
Very easy.
They come with so many health benefits. Next thing is, and we talked about this a little bit on our last show, but I want people to understand, when you eat fruit, eat whole fruit. Don't try to juice it. I mean, you can juice some fruits, but the problem with that is because it becomes so potent in fructose, and you're really nixing it, the added fibers and nutrients from it. So eat whole fruit that contain various oxidants like flavonoids and resveratrol, which are tied to cancer prevention and brain health. So 1 or 2 servings a day for somebody who's on a weight loss journey, and 2 to 3 servings for people who are healthy, like berries and blueberries, cherries, nectarines, oranges, pears, apples, things like that.
.437 on WHBY. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley. It's time to get our lean on with Coach Tony, and we're talking gut health.
Get your lean on.
Yes.
That's an awesome name.
It really is. And you can get your lean on with these next things you're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
On the way to good gut health, right?
Absolutely. So we ended up with, our veggies, our fruits. And we pick the lowest glycemic ones so they don't spike blood sugar levels. So we're going to get into some herbs and spices like teas, turmeric, ginger, basil, organic, oregano, thyme, plus green tea and organic coffees. And we talked about that because they're so high in antioxidants. They're just really, really good for you. We want to go into the probiotic foods that contain good bacteria and that will populate gut health or populate your gut and fight off bad bacteria strains. This includes small amounts now of probiotic foods such as real Greek yogurt. Remember, don't get the stuff with the fruit in there or anything
no flavors.
Like that. Real Greek yogurt, full fat. Kombucha and kefir, those are all really, really good things that can populate good gut health and populate your good bacteria. Next on the list is wild-caught salmon, free-range eggs, grass-fed pasteurized meats. All these things are higher in omega-3 fatty acids, which bring inflammation down in the body compared to traditionally farm-raised or grain-fed animals, and they are also super healthy. They got the healthy fats. They have better essential nutrients like zinc, selenium, and vitamin B, all very, very good for your gut health and all very good for fighting off inflammation and brain health as well. Healthy fats, we talked about that a little bit. You know, things like coconut oil, grass-fed butters are great, extra virgin olive oil, and nuts and seeds. Throw them into your diet every single day. You need those healthy fats. They will, again, lower inflammation in the body. Legumes and beans, which, you know, I don't put a lot of these into my diet, although there are some super great health benefits to real ones. Legumes and beans like red beans, black-eyed peas, and chickpeas, lentils. Now, when you're getting into the grain-based proteins like amaranth, buckwheat, and quinoa, those are also really good grain-based foods. But on the flip side, they're super high in carbohydrates as well. So you have to watch that ratio. You don't want to go really crazy. So small amounts of them. And last but not least is, my wife will love me for this again, is red wine and dark chocolate. Now, red wine, obviously, you know, you don't want to go overboard. You know, a couple 4-ounce glasses a day are plenty perfect. When it comes to dark chocolate, you want to get 80% cacao or higher, and 1 to 2 ounces a day is perfectly fine.
I was going to ask what percentage we should look for, because there's a lot of dark, quote-unquote, dark chocolate out there. That's
80% cacao. The higher, the better.
Okay. Great. Well,
so there we have a rundown of our really, really good foods now. For healthy gut bacteria or a healthy gut. Now, you know, just to give the listeners an idea, if you want to go over to my website, getyourleanon.com, and if you're in search of, because I've got all these ebooks, they're just ready for you. If you're in search of a book that will teach you how to restore your thyroid health, your thyroid output, and re-stimulate your metabolism naturally by using 11 key foods that have key nutrients that are optimal for healthy thyroid function, go to my website, go to bookstore, click bookstore, and it'll be right in there, optimizing your thyroid naturally. Again, even what we just talked about, I have one, a probiotics 101 book that will help you clean up your gut bacteria. If you're in fear of these neurodegenerative diseases we talked about, like Alzheimer's, dementia, and you're afraid that that's part of your predisposition, maybe it's in your family trait or something, and you want to recharge your brain health and memory and focus, go pick up my book, The 11 Foods That'll Improve Memory and Focus. Those are all good tools that you'll have forever, and they'll really change the way you look at things. If you're just looking for something that you want to live healthier and get off that diet roller coaster, go pick up my last book, Stop Dieting and Start Eating. Now, if you go to my website and you fill out the little questionnaire there, you may have a chance of getting a free hour's nutrition coaching session with me.
Really?
Yep, 1 free hour with me. So it's worth just the stop, just to fill it out.
I would say so. I got a pretty good chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we talked gut health. And before we head to our break in about a minute or so, we're going to maybe preview what we're going to talk about in our final segment with you, which is some things that we might be doing, we don't even realize it, that are actually negatively affecting us and accelerating aging and weight gain instead, which is what we are not trying to do when we are thinking we're doing the right thing with these exercises.
Yeah. So there, surprisingly, we think that all exercises created equal, but it's not. And certain exercises can become downright counterproductive when done chronically or wrong. So we're going to discuss that, and hopefully I can set some people's minds straight. Again, talking about counterintuitive, most people will go, oh, this is counterintuitive to what we've heard. But again, going back to ask yourself, how is it working? If it's not working, obviously you got to try a different process. And I'm all about counterintuitive processes.
All right. We're going to get to those things and a lot more with Coach Tony here on Get Your Lean On. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley on WHBY, 446 The Time, here with Coach Tony. Get Your Lean On. And we're going to talk about some exercises that are
And I think it'll be kind of shocking for a lot of people, but it will definitely help people out. There's no doubt about it. Some exercises that were considered to be, you know, the way to get lean and fit and healthy while helping you look younger are now shown to actually accelerate middle-aged belly fat, lose lean muscle tissue, and inflammation that causes us to age faster. So at the age of 35 for women and 40 for men, your body starts to hormonally change and you start to gain weight easier, especially around the midsection. I think most people that are that age can actually understand that and verify that. Equally, it also begins to, your lean muscle tissue begins to diminish, creating an automatic metabolic slowdown, making you less energetic, weaker, and, of course, flabbier. And while, what's that?
Nobody wants that.
No, nobody wants that. And while, you know, trying to combat this by picking up your duration of workouts or making them longer or more frequent or more intense may seem logical, right? That's what most people would think. Oh, I'm just got to pick up my workout or something. This may actually be making things worse. And by that, what I mean is exercising more than you were before or being more strict with your diet will not only be counterproductive, it will also add to your frustration as well. You'll try to outbeat a diet. You'll try to exercise super hard, and it will be counterproductive. So what's actually happening? Well, the simple explanation is you can blame it mainly on the diminishing youth-enhancing hormones that our body produces naturally, particularly one called growth hormone.
Hmm.
So gradually, this hormone progresses, progressive declines. Usually, it begins middle age and continues linearly at small percentages for the rest of our natural life. So this phenomena is generally referred to as the middle age spread.
There's actually a term for it.
Yes, absolutely. I've written several articles on this. So some of the most common symptoms associated with middle-aged spread are increased belly fat and loss of lean muscle tone that result in a droopy, shapeless middle-aged body, which is probably why most people that are over the age of 40 stop wearing nice form-fitting clothes.
Sure.
Which doesn't have to be that way. Now, research has discovered that your body has the ability to actually re-stimulate lagging youth-enhancing hormones naturally. And although we may not be able to stop the aging process, we know that you can certainly slow down the pace that actually reverse some of the effects that it has thus far without reverting to anti-aging pills, potions, powders, elixirs, or hormone replacement or supplements. Now, however, before going any further, I need to warn people, again, that this is probably going to sound totally counterintuitive in the respects that all exercise and diet advice that we're being told is kind of wrong. So I want to straighten some of that out for people so they don't get caught up in this whole middle-aged spread thing and try to out-exercise it. So here's three things that you must avoid if you don't want to burn off, if you want to burn off unwanted age-related body fat, regain muscle, tone, and get lean, fit, and youthful again, okay?
All right.
The first one is this will blow people's mind, is chronic cardio.
Surprise me, seriously.
People go for that all the time. When people really don't know how to exercise, the first thing they do is they jump on the cardio equipment. When they want to get lean and healthy and get that six-pack, they jump on the cardio equipment. So many people think that cardio is the answer to everything related to weight loss and fat loss, right? But current studies prove that doing conventional super long bouts of cardio overtax the body and increase the production of the stress hormone called cortisol. Now, why is this important? Because cortisol actually, when it's raised chronically, will actually hoard body fat. It will not allow you to burn body fat. You will actually hoard body fat, exactly opposite of what you want. Study also found that doing long, frequent cardio sessions break down lean muscle tissue and increase the production of free radicals that actually attack your muscle tissue. Now, free radicals are nasty little molecules that create cell damage through oxidation, creating chronic inflammation and accelerated aging that can lead to serious metabolic and chronic issues by damaging healthy cells. So stop your chronic cardio. So if you want to, if you've been pounding away at the treadmill or cranking away at the stationary bike or slaving away at other types of cardio machines, you need to understand that some cardio is good, but chronic cardio is highly counterproductive. Stop it.
You heard it from Coach Tony. All right, number two here, something that as a new parent, I'm guilty of.
And most people are like, what? This isn't actually an exercise, but lack of sleep. Now, although not considered an exercise, keeping yourself from being sleep deprived is super important. It's a super important exercise protocol you need to execute and master. Now, speaking from my own personal experience, because this Thursday I'll be 57.
Happy early birthday, Tony.
Getting enough sleep as you get older is a major issue. You just don't sleep as well. You know, although your body is resilient and can handle tons of stress, we know that. One thing it cannot cope without, and that's getting enough sleep. In fact, when you're sleep deprived, your body becomes overwhelmed with, again, the stress hormone cortisol, which loves to deposit fat right around the belly area.
The place everyone hates.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's indicative of middle-aged people. And unfortunately, it's nearly impossible to exercise or diet away and be lean again if cortisol levels are continuously elevated. So you need to get quality sleep consistently, period. So here's a couple things you can do to help you get some better sleep. First one is get yourself situated in a dark or shaded room and put dark blankets over the windows if you can't block out the light. You need that good dark sleep. This will ensure you maximize your melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, the production that improves your quality of sleep.
A simple thing to do.
It really is, and it's so important. I don't think people really realize how important good sleep is. And the next one is to try to get a fairly rigid schedule so your body can adjust to the wake-sleep time automatically. When your melatonin, your sleep hormone levels peak during a fairly small window of time, and I don't think people really realize that. So what this means is by creating a healthy pattern, you open up the opportunity of falling asleep much faster. Now, this will also be the most effective way to get yourself into that deep REM, or what's called rapid eye movement sleep, which will give you a much better sleep during the night. These are some effective tools that you can apply to get better sleep.
And then number three.
The number three one, and I see this so much in the industry I'm in, excessive ab exercises. So if you want to get rid of your belly fat, you got to get rid of the source of the problem. Unfortunately, even though most of us fall prey to doing tons of ab exercises in the hopes of creating that lean, sexy six-pack by doing targeted ab exercises like sit-ups, crunches, side bends, It absolutely will do nothing to help you get rid of ab flab, okay? In fact, doing exercise-targeted moves can injure your lower back, causing unnecessary stress on your spine. This may come to a surprise, but the purpose of your ab muscles is to actually prevent excessive bending or twisting, taking added pressure off your back.
So they're there to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So the bottom line is, don't waste your valuable time doing multiple typical ab exercises thinking you're going to strip unwanted body fat. The cause of fat accumulation around the midsection or stomach region is due to hormonal imbalances. Again, how do we keep going back to that? Created by unhealthy eating habits coupled with changes in your age-related chemistry. That means that you have to stimulate the right biochemical processes in your body to trigger that youth-enhancing hormone that will enable you to burn that stubborn body fat.
So what do we do, Tony?
Well, it's scientifically proven that as you age, the process is do not do the three no-nos. These essential factors combined with illicit, powerful physiological responses that flood the body with anti-aging fat hormones so you can burn off unwanted body fat at a middle age are what we just outlined here. So you have to stick to the plan. Don't do excessive cardio, get some decent sleep, and don't do tons of ab exercises. Flat out.
And that's it.
That's it. Simple as that.
Well, thank you, Tony, for teaching us some ways to correctly get good gut health today.
Yes.
And then some things to avoid if we want to be on a path to healthy lifestyles.
Counterintuitive things again. Most people jump right to the three things I outlined that are the three things that you have to reverse.
All right. Coach Tony, always a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
How about that?
Yep.
See All
you
right.
in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Get your lean on with Coach Tony right here on WHBY.
The previous program was sponsored by Get Your Lean On. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers.